I'm Jacob Heilbrunn, the editor of The National Interest, and we have a new podcast about Super Tuesday, which was not so super for Nikki Haley, or was it? Harry, what's your take?
Look, Jacob, I think it's very clear that Nikki Haley was always going to drop out. I don't think there was any question of that whatsoever. It was just a question of when. And I think it was always a question, you know, going back 3, 4, 5 months ago, that it was very clear that it was only going to be Donald Trump as the nominee. That was the only way this was ever going to go. And that's just a function of Donald Trump bringing in, you know, tens of millions of populist voters into the GOP that were never part of the GOP. He has remade this party into his MAGA image. And I don't think there's any questioning of that. I think Nikki Haley was always going to lose. She was always a long shot candidate. And I think she's made a critical mistake here, Jacob. And I want to point this out. Nikki Haley should have dropped out after the New Hampshire primary. She should have endorsed Donald Trump. And then she probably would have become his vice presidential pick, knowing that Donald Trump needs to try and get as many of these on the fence, never Trumpers, or people who don't like Trump and the GOP, you know, more of the Liz Cheney, you know, 2012 Mitt Romney types, to try to get them to come home, if you will, lock her down. And then Nikki Haley, you know, when Donald Trump was off the scene, she could do whatever she wanted, basically. That would have been a better strategy if you're trying to co-opt MAGA. She didn't do that. And I think she's going to pay a long-term price for it.
How do you think that Trump will respond to Haley now? Will he usher her into the fold, much as he tried to do with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, or will he hold her at arm's length? Does she have any prospects of becoming his vice president?
I mean, look at it this way. Donald Trump is very good at insulting people, attacking people, calling them the nastiest things you could possibly think of, and then making up and being friends with them. I mean, look at Mike Pence. Mike Pence was his 2016 VP pick, and Mike Pence endorsed, you know, Ted Cruz just a few weeks and months before. You know, the list goes on and on of all the people that Donald Trump has, you know, been mortal enemies with and the GOP, and then made nice with and made what I would say good policy with. So it isn't out of the question that, you know, Nikki Haley could end up being his VP pick or somewhere else in the cabinet. I mean, I think that's the only place she could land. He's not going to make her Secretary of State. That would be the effect of bringing John Bolton back into an administration. That is the number one place where they don't align is foreign policy. So, you know, that position's out. She wouldn't want to be national security advisor. She's more of the face of policy as opposed to making and crafting policy. So that wouldn't work. So I think VP is the only place, but we'll have to see. I mean, I mean, it would be good to sort of try to get her endorsement by the time the convention comes. It's tough to know what he would have to promise to get that endorsement. It seems like she's sort of having her 2016 Ted Cruz moment, if you will, you know, vote your conscience type of thing, basically what he said at the convention back in 2016. So it's tough to know exactly where this goes. I think Trump needs to reach out to her, think privately and publicly, try to bring her back in the fold. He's pretty good at it because he's done it before countless times.
How do you see Trump's scores in these various primaries? Some are arguing that actually Haley didn't do that badly. And Karl Rove on Fox News says that the Trump camp should be worried that he didn't score above 65% in some of these primaries. She won Vermont. How is he going to win the independent vote in the general election?
Simple. If Donald Trump called me today, Jacob, and asked me for advice, this is what I tell him to do. Think about why you lost, Mr. President. And he'd probably start yelling at me, and that's fine. But once he gets past that, I'd say to him, look, you lost because you did not get something like 45,000 votes in 3 swing states. So if I'm Donald Trump, my strategy is simple. I camp out in those swing states. I go round and round to Michigan, to North Carolina, to Virginia. I try to put that back in play. I make sure I lock down Georgia. I would crisscross those states relentlessly. I'd spend all my money there because Pennsylvania, that's where this is going to come down to who's going to win the election. I don't care about this poll, about that poll, the Fox News poll, the Seneca poll, whatever. It comes down to the last 2 elections, Jacob, 2016, 2020, it's the swing states that count. You have to put all your money, time, and effort into convincing those small, narrow group of voters. It's probably like 300,000 or 400,000 people that are going to decide the election. You need to laser focus in on them. I would also say to Trump is that he needs to forget about what he thinks about what happened in 2020, how he thinks the election was stolen, and needs to focus in on the areas that he was weakest. He needs to make sure that he embraces mail-in voting. It's here. I mean, I'm down here in Florida. I'm getting things about mail-in voting in the reddest of red states. He has to embrace that. He needs to embrace ballot harvesting if that's something that in particular states that could help him. He needs to get his message out and get his people to the polls in any format that that needs to happen. And he needs to let that go. If he does those things, he can win.
Harry, with Joe Biden preparing for his State of the Union this Thursday night, the battle between Donald Trump and Joe Biden will soon be joined. And we will be back, I assure you, with a fresh edition of In the National Interest with our executive editor, Harry J. Kazianis. Thank you, Harry.
Thanks, Jacob.